from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo as people should not easily be provoked. Indonesian government remains focused on reinforcing industrialization. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo advised the public not to be easily agitated by hoaxes and negative issues that could undermine the national unity. President Joko Widodo, when delivering his speech after receiving a traditional Rajo Balak Mangkunagara title in Griya Agung, Palembang, on Sunday morning, said he was sometimes surprised by the fact that difference in political choice could make people reluctant to talk to each other. President Joko Widodo said that regional head elections or district head and governor elections and presidential race are held not only this time, but they are routinely held once in every 5 years. Therefore, the president earlier in Lampung said that people should not be hostile toward each other and sacrifice their harmony only because of general elections and differences in choice. The government will remain focused on accelerating the country's industrialization as it will bring multiplier effect to national economy. Therefore, the government is resolved to create conducive investment climate, Head of Industrial Research and Development Agency of the Ministry of Industry Ngakan Timur Antara said in Jakarta on Sunday, November 25. Ngakan said his agency has taken strategic steps, such as economic policy packages, incentives, and ease of doing business facilities. The multiple effects of the policy included added values of raw materials, local workers' absorption, increase in foreign exchange earning from export taxes and excise duties. The effort could accelerate even distribution and national inclusive and quality economic growth. This leads the government to carry out economic transformation which shifts consumption to manufacturing-based economy. The Ministry of Industry is consistent with the implementation of the industrial downstreaming in the non-oil gas processing sector with an emphasis on stock chain approach so that it would be more competitive in the domestic, regional, and global levels. Referring to Central Statistics Agency BPS data, in the third quarter of 2018, the manufacturing industry still has the largest contribution to the national gross domestic product GDP of 19.66%. The Indonesian government has been able to increase agricultural efficiency by 48% over the past 4 years by encouraging agricultural modernization through agricultural tools and machinery or Alsintan assistance. to encourage the modernization of agriculture with the assistance of machinery and agricultural equipment have been going on since 2015. Director General of Agricultural Infrastructure and Facilities, Pending Dadi Permana, noted at a press conference that the use of agricultural tools and machinery to encourage agricultural modernization can increase farming efficiency by 35% to 48%. The Director General remarked that Alsintan was provided in the form of two-wheel tractors and four-wheel tractors, water pumps, rice transplanting equipment, choppers, cultivators, excavators, hand sprayers, corn planting tools, and semi-manual corn planting devices. Permana explained that the Ministry of Agriculture encourages modernization in agricultural cultivation as a whole, including land processing activities, planting, harvesting, and processing agricultural products. In 2019, the Ministry of Agriculture, through the Directorate General of Agricultural Infrastructure and Facilities, plans to develop a swam area of 500,000 hectares spreading across Kalimantan, Sumatra, and Sulawesi. Kenya can learn about disaster management from Indonesia, considering Kenya is also a country prone to natural disasters. Kenya Red Cross Secretary General Abbas Gulid, in a written statement from the Indonesian Embassy in Nairobi received by Antara in Jakarta on Saturday, said that in the past decade, Indonesia had been able to develop an effective disaster management system, both in terms of technical readiness and regulation. The statement was revealed by Abbas Gulid before all representatives of ASEAN countries in Nairobi at the ASEAN Charity Donation 2018 event in Nairobi on Monday, November 19. In this activity, all representatives of ASEAN countries in Nairobi consisted of Indonesia, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Thailand, handed over around $5,770 of aid to the Kenya Red Cross and will be used to purchase various medical devices for the Integrated Health Service Center in Kalabeyi, Kenya. In recent times, Indonesia has been a good coordinator for various international actors, including international NGOs, who came to provide assistances. He added that Indonesia's experience in the past few years was very valuable for Kenya to study. On this occasion, the Indonesian ambassador to Nairobi, Suharjono Sastromiharjo, said that Indonesia would be happy to share experiences in disaster management both with Kenya Red Cross and International Red Cross. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita requested that the World Trade Organization, WTO, continue to pay attention to developing countries, including Indonesia, when reforming the organization. In his statement in Jakarta on Sunday, November 25, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that the WTO should not forget and ignore unresolved matters such as the Doha round of negotiations and still pay attention to the interests of developing and less developed countries. He added after meeting with WTO Director General Roberto Azevedo at the WTO office in Geneva, Switzerland, the WTO reform is believed to bring positive change to the multilateral trading system and is expected to be able to accommodate the interests of developing countries, including Indonesia. Meanwhile, as the G33 coordinator, Indonesia also wants the WTO reform to continue to pay attention to the matters such as public stock holding and special safeguard mechanisms. Secretary General of People's Consultative Assembly MPR Ma'ruf Cahyono invited the millennial generation, especially students, to understand Pancasila democracy, which is different from the democracies adopted by other countries. The millennial generation must be a main and priority target. This was said by Ma'ruf Cahyono when he became a keynote speaker at the National Seminar on the Challenge of Pancasila Democracy in the Millennium Era held by the Muhammadiyah University of Purwokerto and the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly at the Rectorate Building of Muhammadiyah University Purwokerto on Saturday, November 24. According to him, the millennial generation will continue the struggle of Indonesian people in fulfilling independence to realize the country's goals as included in the preamble of the 1945 Constitution. Therefore, MPR and UMP held a national seminar to provide understanding to the millennial generation about Pancasila democracy. The last item. The 400 Terendak Camp Field, Malacca, Malaysia, witnessed the triumph of the Indonesian contingent in the 28th ASEAN Armies Rifle Meet, or AARM, competition in 2018. Not only reassuring the overall champion, but with a total of 32 gold, the Indonesian Army team broke the record for gold achieved the previous year. Head of the Army Information Service Brigadier General Chandra Wijaya, in a statement received in Jakarta on Saturday, November 24, said that the TNI had become the champion of the AARM with 9 trophies and 31 gold and 31 gold medals. Therefore, with 9 trophies and 32 times gold this year, the Indonesian contingent not only ensured the champion, but also succeeded in answering the challenge of the army leadership, which was breaking the medal record. In 2017, in Singapore, the army contingent won the championship with 9 trophies, 31 gold, 10 silver, and 10 bronze medals. This is a proud achievement and shows that TNI has the best weapon production in Southeast Asia. Brigadier General Chandra Wijaya said that automatically Indonesia could ensure that currently it has become the champion, even though it will be announced on November 27. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo as people should not easily be provoked. Indonesian government remains focused on reinforcing industrialization. That was the news.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. And today it's on NBA helps search and guide students to become national athletes. Almost 3,500 teachers participated in the Junior NBA Coach Academy at the Kertajaya Sport Hall in Surabaya, East Java on Wednesday. They are part of the 12,000 teachers who will take part in the basketball training program held by East Java Province in collaboration with the NBA National Basketball Association from the United States. The Junior NBA Training Academy in East Java took place on Thursday, November the 22nd. The program aims to develop basketball sports in the community, especially among students. From the early childhood education level, from the early high school until high school, teachers who have been trained are expected to further encourage and facilitate students to play basketball. The teachers were also asked to make and apply training guides in accordance with the school program curriculum and extracurricular activities. Head of the East Java Education and Sport Agency, Supratomo, said the teachers were encouraged to find and develop athletes' talents in students. If the teachers can carry out training properly, students can become great athletes in the future. If there are many young athletes emerging from schools, the state is not short of finding and preparing athletes for international events. Until now, East Java is one of the provinces supplying national athletes. Sports that are traditionally strong in East Java include archery, athletics, swimming, gymnastics, bicycle racing, soccer, wrestling, and volleyball, which are all contested at the Olympics. Besides that, there are many martial arts like pencaksilat, karate, judo, and taekwondo. Meanwhile, the head of East Java Education Agency, Saiful Rahman, agreed that the school must actively monitor, foster, and develop students' talent in sports.
While the vice president of the NBA Global Partnership for Asia, Francesco Suarez, said the academy program has become a means to introduce basketball to teachers in Indonesia. The development of sports is believed to have a positive impact on the development of the younger generation. Junior NBA is a global basketball participation program for children which teaches basic skills and core values of the match. According to Suarez, Junior NBA in the past 2 years has reached 26 million children in 71 countries through camps, clinic skills challenges, and league matches. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on NBA helps search and guide students to become national athletes in East Java.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with November the 25th, 1945. The Teachers Association of the Republic of Indonesia was established. The spirit of the proclamation of August 17, 1945 inspired the holding of the Indonesian Teacher Congress on November 24 and 25, 1945 in Surakarta. Through this Congress, all organizations and groups of teachers based on differences in graduates' work environment, regional environment, politics, religion, and ethnicity agreed to be abolished. They are teachers who are actively teaching, retired teachers who are actively struggling, and newly formed education staff of the Republic of Indonesia. They are united in the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. At this Congress on November the 25th, 1945, 100 days after the proclamation of the independence of the Republic of Indonesia, the Indonesian Teachers Association was established. The launching of Teachers' Day is certainly to commemorate the services and struggles of teachers who have worked hard to fight for education in Indonesia. Turning to November the 25th, 1975. The independence of Suriname. The Republic of Suriname, used to be called Guyana, Netherlands, is a country located in South America and is a former Dutch colony. The country borders French Guiana in the east and Guyana in the west. In the south, it borders Brazil and in the north with the Atlantic Ocean. In Suriname, there was around 75,000 Javanese and were taken there from the Dutch East Indies between 1890 to 1939. The outbreak of the First World War did not affect the economic political situation of Suriname. On December 15, 1954, the Dutch government, together with representatives from Suriname, signed a memorandum containing the plan for ending the occupation. In a roundtable conference in 1961, Suriname representatives, led by Prime Minister Johan Adolf Pengel, demanded the establishment of a self-government. This demand was taken seriously by holding a conference in the Netherlands in 1970. Suriname subsequently became an independent state. I'll end with November the 25th, 2000, the Baku earthquake. On Saturday, November the 25th, 2000, at 10 p.m. local time, an earthquake measuring 7 on the Richter scale with an epicenter measuring 6.3 hit Baku, Azerbaijan. The quake was followed 3 minutes later by an earthquake measuring 5.9 on the Richter scale. This earthquake was the strongest in the last 160 years. Namely, since the earthquake in 1842. According to the United States Geological Survey, the epicenter was located in the Caspian Sea, 25 south-southeast of Baku. The quake was felt as far as Tbilisi, 600 northwest of the epicenter. Makakala is Serbas in Dagestan, it is estimated that earthquakes are caused by reactive tectonic movements in the two main parts of the Earth's crust, Turansky plates and Kopeda-Kaukas folding plates. 26 people were killed and 412 people were injured in this earthquake. Well, that was Today in History, this time from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Highlight of the Week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with spotlights of this week, and today is on the 16th Joint Commission meeting for bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia. Indonesia and Malaysia have made a lot of significant progress and also breakthroughs in various fields of cooperation, including the issue of the border. This was conveyed by Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi at the 16th Joint Commission meeting for bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur on Wednesday, November the 21st. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and Malaysian Foreign Minister Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah at the meeting agreed on the record of discussion which was produced in the discussion of the 16th Joint Commission meeting for bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur from November the 20th until 21st. To the media after the meeting, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said, after 13 years, the two countries had completed negotiation on two important border areas, namely in the Malacca and Sulawesi Straits. The two countries have also signed a Memorandum of Understanding No. 21 concerning demarcation and international border surface in October 2018. Not only that, the negotiating teams of the two countries reached agreement on two land border segments. Meanwhile, on the issue called Outstanding Border Problem or OBP, Foreign Minister Retno said Indonesia and Malaysia had agreed on two out of five problems in the eastern border sector in North Kalimantan and Sabah. She hopes that Malaysia will continue to coordinate with Indonesia to complete three other OBPs, then negotiate on others in the West. In the 16th Joint Commission meeting for bilateral cooperation, Indonesia and Malaysia also almost completed the MOU framework regarding the recruitment and placement of domestic workers. Indonesia has also submitted a proposal regarding the MOU on illegal fishing. Other MOU frameworks that are still being discussed are about education, the implementation of Sumatran rhinoceros conservation, and law enforcement on human trafficking crimes. Foreign Minister Retno and Malaysian Foreign Minister Saifuddin Abdullah have also discussed various regional issues. She and Foreign Minister Saifuddin agreed to safeguard Southeast Asia as a region of peace and prosperity. Both of them also agreed to continue to oppose the negative campaigns of a number of parties towards the palm oil industry in Indonesia and Malaysia. In addition, Foreign Minister Retno and Saifuddin also continued the commitment of the two countries to continue to support Palestine in achieving sustainable solutions. The result of the meeting agreement will be delivered at President Joko Widodo's annual consultation meeting with Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad next year. Well, that was Spotlight of the Week over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo advised the public not to be easily agitated by hoaxes and negative issues that could undermine the national unity. The government will remain focused on accelerating the country's industrialization as it will bring multiplier effects to national economy. Therefore, the government is resolved to create conducive investment climate, head of Industrial Research and Development Agency of the Ministry of Industry, Ngakan Timur Antara, said in Jakarta on Sunday, November 25. The Indonesian government has been able to increase agricultural efficiency by 48% over the past 4 years by encouraging agricultural modernization through agricultural tools and machinery Al-Sintan assistance. Kenya can learn about disaster management from Indonesia, considering Kenya is also a country prone to natural disasters. Kenya Red Cross Secretary General Abbas Golet, in a written statement, from the Indonesian Embassy in Nairobi received by Antara in Jakarta said that in the past decade, Indonesia had been able to develop an effective disaster management system, both in terms of technical readiness and regulation. Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita requested that the World Trade Organization WTO continue to pay attention to developing countries, including Indonesia, when reforming the organization. Secretary General of People's Consultative Assembly MPR Ma'ruf Cahyono invited the millennial generation, especially students, to understand Pancasila democracy, which is different from the democracies adopted by other countries. The 400 Terendak Camp Field, Malacca, Malaysia, witnessed the triumph of the Indonesian contingent in the 28th ASEAN Army's Rifle Meet competition in 2018. Not only reassuring the overall champion, but with a total of 32 gold medals, the Indonesian Army team broke the record for gold achieved in the previous year. Listener, that was News in Brief.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a special program featuring tourism in Indonesia, including destinations, places of interest, and also art and culture, even culinary. Today, I will invite you to travel to Karawang, West Java Province, to enjoy the beauty of Curug Cikarapiak or Cikarapiak Waterfall. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia via shortwave on 3325 kHz, live streaming at www.voinews.id or through the RRI Play application. Curug Cikarapiak is one of the tourist attractions in a tourist village located on Mount Sanggabuana, Kuta Maneh Village, Tegalwaru District, Karawang Regency, West Java. It is always visited by many domestic and foreign tourists on weekdays and holidays. Cikarapiak Waterfalls is about 44 kilometers from the center of Karawang City. It requires approximately 1 hour to reach the site. For tourists from the city of Karawang, of course, they are familiar to the location of Curug Cikarapiak. While for tourists from outside the city, they can use private or rental vehicles such as cars or motorbikes. But if you ride public transportation such as public buses or other transportation means, it is also not a problem because you can stop at the city bus terminal and continue by using a rented motorbike or rental vehicle to the village of Kuta Maneh where Curug Cikarapiak is located. The trip to Curug Cikarapiak can be said to be very heavy and enough to test your adrenaline because you have to go through various paths, tracing various rocky big rivers. Other than that, you still have to walk on the up and down cliffs and hit various shrubs. But as soon as you arrive at the waterfall, beside the extraordinary satisfaction, you can unwind while playing as much water and look at the beauty around the waterfall as possible. The enter to the tourist area only need to pay the ticket for 5,000 rupiah per person, while parking costs 5,000 for two-wheeled vehicles and 7,000 rupiah for four-wheeled vehicles. For your information, $1 is about 15,000 rupiahs. The facilities on here are very complete and adequate, starting from ticket booths, prayer rooms, bathrooms, rinse places, and clean toilets. For those of you who want to stay overnight, lodging is also available here. The main thing that you must consider before traveling to Curug Cikarapiak is that you have to prepare yourself physically because the terrain that will be passed is heavy. In addition, you also have to bring personal needs such as medicine, toiletries, and others so that your tour runs smoothly. Curug Cikarapiak is also equipped with tourism object signs that will make tourists safe. It was Indonesian Wonder today with the topic of Curug or Waterfall Cikarapiak. If you visit Kerawang, take time to visit this waterfall and don't forget to set up a camera to capture your beautiful moment with family or friends. Okay, tomorrow we will meet again with other interesting topics. See you then.
Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello there, this is Henry Wood Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a special item or segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, environment and technology, even lifestyle. This edition presents topics about forestry festival in Bengkulu, so stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia via shortwave on 3325 kHz, live streaming at www.voinews.id or through the RRI Play application. Forests are an important part of the earth. In general, forests function as the lungs of the world. Economic resources, controlling disasters, storing water, and reducing air pollution. Therefore, the existence of the forest must be protected and preserved. Awareness to utilize forest resources or products without destroying them still needs to be socialized to the community. The socialization efforts were carried out, among others, through the Forestry Festival. A provincial-level forestry festival in Bengkulu was held from November 22nd to 24th at Raffles City Hotel Panjang Bengkulu Beach. Rohidin Mersyah, as acting governor of Bengkulu, invited the community to utilize natural resources in the forest without destroying it. The concept of ecotourism can be an option to preserve forests while making it a tourist destination. He said the National Social Forestry Program was considered capable of being a legal solution for the community to manage the forests. Legal access is expected to be a bridge to improving welfare and the presence of the state in protecting its people. He added, forest destruction in Bengkulu had become a spotlight due to the conversion of forests into plantations. Rohidin also appreciates institutions or community groups of forest areas in Bengkulu who can innovate the management and utilization of forest products with a sustainable orientation. According to him, forestry business must also be able to move dynamically following changes. This forestry festival was themed "It's Time for the People." Participants came from various circles, namely government, academics, communities, and other related parties. The Forest and Wood Products Exhibition stands were participated in by environmental and forestry partners. Meanwhile, the head of the Bengkulu Provincial Environment and Forestry Agency, Agus Priambudi, said the event included an exhibition of works by forestry community groups, entrepreneurship consultation, forestry business development workshop, discussions on strengthening forest management units in Bengkulu province. This activity is also expected to improve the economy of the community and preserve the forest itself. Well, that was Miscellany This Time. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Sami Masad in Egypt. In his email, Mr. Sami Masad expressed his condolences on Palu, Donggala, and Sigi, which were stricken by earthquake, and he prayed God saves Indonesia and the Indonesian people. Hello, Mr. Sami Masad. Thank you very much for your attention on our country, which is affected by disasters. It is because Indonesia is located on the Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire is a major area in the basin of the Pacific Ocean, where many earthquakes and volcanic eruptions occur. Hopefully, all disasters will go away from the regions which are affected by the disasters, and those regions are back to be normal like usual. As information, you can follow our current news about our country through our website www.voynews.id. Well, Mr. Sami Masad, please keep listening to our broadcast and please don't forget to send your report.
Rasakan tajam menusuk tak beralasan. Kita sudah dingin hati. Dulu kita pernah saling memahami, segan merasa telah menyakiti. Kita terlalu perasa. Setiap katamu cermin. Kisah kau mau.
listener, now we will reply an email from Akira Takei in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kHz at 2125 hours to 2145 hours local time on October 7, 2018. And the SYN code was 33333 to 32332. He wrote that there was intensely interference from Pyongyang Broadcasting. He also complained due to interference and noise, he could not hear accurately the broadcast contents. Hello, Mr. Akira Takei, thank you very much for your reception report on our broadcast. We are really sorry for your inconvenience, and we suggest you to monitor our broadcast through website www.voynews.id or through RRI Play mobile application from your smartphone. About your complaint, we will deliver it to our technical division. And your email will be replied by our Japanese section as well. Mr. Akira, please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. And special for you, we will play a beautiful song.
Tersiarkan kisah lelaki tangguh bagai satria, namun saat ia tertati takluk oleh dunia. Cerminan sisi terbaikmu, lindungi hatinya sekalipun di dalam amarah. Tajam rasa
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we will continue to reply an email from Peter Goldfinch in Australia. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through frequency of 3325 kHz on Sunday, the 14th of October 2018, from 1340 hours to 1400 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Peter Goldfinch said that he hopes to be able to tune in our full hour broadcast in near future and learn about the customs and culture of the people of Indonesia. He must also let us know that he found our website excellent and easy to navigate. He also said that he enjoyed listening to our listeners' mailbag program. Hello, Mr. Peter Goldfinch. Thank you for joining our broadcast, and we hope you can monitor our broadcast every day. If you want to learn about Indonesian customs and cultures, you can follow our segment Indonesian Wonder. This segment is broadcast every day, telling about Indonesian cultures, culinary customs, and arts. So we'll be able to know more about our country through this segment. Our radio also presents Indonesian popular songs, keroncong songs, traditional songs, and also regional songs. And hopefully by listening to our radio, you'll work more passionately. Therefore, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Well, Mr. Peter Goldfinch, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your reception report. Thank you.
Sulit buat
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from Hidehiko Komachi in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through shortwave on frequency of 3325 kHz at 1310 hours to 1330 hours UTC on October 12, 2018. And the SIN code was 33333. In his email, Mr. Hidehiko Komachi said that he was very happy to have a chance to receive our broadcast today. He will try to hear our radio as soon as he can. Hello, Mr. Hidehiko Komachi. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. Your SINPO is quite good. It means that you can hear our broadcast clearly. Besides English, we also broadcast in other languages, including Japanese. And we hope you always monitor our broadcast every day. And please don't forget to send your reception report of our broadcast. Listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRE Net. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2000 hours to 2030 hours West Indonesia time or 1300 hours to 1330 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RRE Play. First, download RRE Play mobile application from Google Play and then open RRE Play application. Then choose RRE Net. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or you can also follow our Twitter at @voiindonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Every time the sky brand new, baby. Oh.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.